The Kate Smith Show. How do you do? This is Ted Collins introducing America's most beloved personality. This program comes to you each day, Monday through Friday. Presented today by Scranton, America's greatest name in lace, and the Reader's Digest Condensed Book Club. Now, here she is, Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. You know, the ingenuity that handicapped persons use to overcome their problems never ceases to amaze me. The latest case to come to my attention is that of Richard Kinney of Winnetka, Illinois. Although he is deaf and blind, he lives alone in an apartment and still manages to answer the doorbell and the telephone when they ring. Now, you must be wondering, if he's deaf as well as blind, how can he hear a telephone or a doorbell? Well, Mr. Kinney has his own special system. Both bells are hooked to an electrical system that sets off oscillating fans. When he feels the draft from one fan, he knows the doorbell's ringing. From the other, he knows it's the telephone. He makes very good use of the phone, too, thanks to an invention of his own that he calls a tactophone. It looks almost like a regular receiver, except that there is an exposed diaphragm over which he places his index finger to hear. The callers use Morse code, and the sound of the dial comes through as a vibration which he feels with his finger. He demonstrated his tactophone during a recent Philadelphia convention of a group that tries to help blind persons live fuller lives in spite of their handicaps. I don't know if it's to be produced commercially or not for the use of other deaf and blind persons, but I sincerely hope that some means will be found for providing this very useful invention for any handicapped person who can use it. Now let's get to my first song, shall we? It's Somebody Loves Me. Ladies, I've always loved lace. How about you? It's so elegant and rich and luxurious. But I used to hate all that stretching and ironing lace dinner cloths needed. It was awful. And that's why I was so happy to learn about the new kind of lace tablecloths that you can buy these days. They're made with a drip-dry miracle Dacron. They need no stretching and very little ironing. Well, starting right now, for a limited time only, you can own an exquisite traditional or a handsome modern lace tablecloth for only $8.95. It's a big $5 saving over the regular price of $13.95. The traditional cloth is called Westminster. The modern design is called Overture. They're both made by the looms of Scranton, America's greatest name in lace. And they're both perfect for your home or for a wedding gift or an anniversary gift. See them now at better stores everywhere, but hurry because that $5 saving is for a limited time only. Our guest today is the personable Pat Boone. Pat has a very special way with honest, warm-hearted sentiment, a way that has endeared him to the millions who watch his television shows and listen to his records. His first song for us today will be Technique.
You love 'em, you leave 'em. That's what is known as technique, technique. The more you deceive 'em, the more they like your technique. They have the feminine mind, which is something like being colorblind. We keep 'em guessing, and that is how we outmaneuver womankind. The women folks, their back is broad, their brain is weak. So they pigeon for the bachelor technique. Strong-armed them, caveman them, they're unimpressed with the male physique. The more you deadpan them, the more they like your technique. Some like the arrogant stare, others like the shy retiring air. While there are others who like you best of all when you ain't even there. Women folk, their face is fair, their brain is weak. So they pigeon for the bachelor technique. But to make them jump through the ring, or to keep them dangling on a string, or you find out what they want you to do, and you do the opposite thing. The less you caress them, the more they're turning the other cheek. The more you outguess them, the more they like your technique. So just remember what I have told you and always keep it in mind. We keep 'em guessing and that is how we outmaneuver womankind. I repeat now. Keep 'em guessing and that is how we outmaneuver womankind. Keep 'em guessing and that is how we outmaneuver womankind.
Thank you very much, Patrick. That was very lovely. Here's important news from Reader's Digest. Now for only 10 cents, you can get 5 brand new best-selling books expertly condensed into one handsome 576-page volume. You get A.J. Cronin's big nationwide bestseller, The Northern Light. This exciting story is of a man's struggle against indecency and corruption. And then there are 4 other fascinating new books, all skillfully condensed for only 10 cents. This generous offer is made to introduce you to the famous Reader's Digest Condensed Book Club. You'll be enrolled as a trial member, but there's no obligation. You may cancel at any time, and the trial book is yours to keep. The 5 books in this one volume would cost you approximately $19 if bought separately. So don't delay. Send your name and address with only 10 cents to Digest, Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. That's Digest, Mutual Broadcasting System, New York 18, New York. If a contest is ever held to choose the all-time queen of music festivals, Mrs. Charles Guggenheimer of New York City should win overwhelmingly. She's absolutely certain of some 16 million votes from enthusiastic visitors to the Lewison Stadium concerts. This is quite a following when you consider that Mrs. Guggenheimer, who is known to all of her fans as Minnie, is slightly past the bathing beauty stage. To be exact, she's 76 years young and a 41-year-old veteran manager for one of our country's most famous summer music programs. There's really no aspect of the stadium concerts that she's not handled at one time or another. She's raised money, she's booked artists, dealt with temperamental performers and their agents, managed stadium personnel, concessionaires, ticket sales, and concert committees. You name it, Minnie has done the job. If you need proof that her devotion pays off, just look at the statistics. Those 16 million paid admissions by music lovers who weren't discouraged by traffic noises, poor acoustics, concrete seats, low-flying airplanes or rain is certainly proof enough. Until a few years ago, few folks outside of New York area had ever heard of Minnie. But she has since guest-starred on a nationwide television program, and she takes to public appearances like an actor takes to a curtain call. Now, those of you who are stadium regulars don't have to be told who the lady is who opens each concert with a greeting to the audience. Her "Hello, everyone," is always greeted with a loud and enthusiastic reply, "Hello, Minnie!" And she loves it. It's easy to see why. Without this tireless music lover's efforts, the stadium concerts might have been a one-shot thing. The first was held back in 1918 as a two-week recreation program for servicemen in the First World War. Then the civic-minded Mrs. Guggenheimer took over. She began raising money to make the concerts an annual affair. She has kept them going for more than four decades in spite of changing populations, the Depression, and a Second World War, television, and those airplanes whose takeoffs and landings sometimes bring them noisily right over the stadium area. These concerts, incidentally, are not just for long hair music fans who frown on anything but classical compositions. In recent years, they've booked such big popularity attractions as Harry Belafonte and Louis Armstrong. There's an all Gershwin program and a Rodgers and Hammerstein program, too, so that no music lover's tastes are ever slighted. I've no doubt at all that these stadium concerts in New York City have set the pattern for many other summer music programs throughout our country. And you couldn't find a better model, believe me. My congratulations to Mrs. Charles Guggenheimer for a job well done. Our national sponsors today are Scranton, America's greatest name in lace, and Reader's Digest. Now this is Kate Smith with the second part of our program. Some of you nice listeners have asked me to describe a few of the chapters in my new cookbook. Well, one outstanding chapter is titled Fanfare, and I'm sure that this is self-explanatory, for it refers to recipes sent to me by you marvelous folks who gave me your permission to use same. Naturally, I couldn't use all of them, so I selected them from various and scattered areas of our country so that a great cross-section is well represented. From time to time, I'll give you information on the various chapters in the book, but right now, I'd better give you its title once more. It's the Kate Smith Company's Coming Cookbook, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy having it. All the recipes are very simple and very easy to use. Thanks for asking me about it. Now, Pat Boone will sing another song for us right after this message of interest to you.
This is Joan Crawford. I recently visited an MS clinic where I saw the startling, crippling effects multiple sclerosis has when it strikes. As I spoke to the patients, most of them between 20 and 40 years of age, I heard over and over again, "I never dreamed it could happen to me." So as I passed through those hospital corridors, the thought came to me, what if someone I love was stricken with MS? I realized then how grateful these MS patients are that there is a national MS society to turn to. And we can all help by contributing to the MS Hope Chest so that the National Society can carry on its great work to find means of stopping this brutal, senseless crippler which strikes people down and dooms them to waste away without cause, without hope. But you and I can give them that hope. And I'm confident you will contribute generously, very generously. This is Joan Crawford thanking you for the MS Hope Chest.
Now here's that amiable young man, Mr. Pat Boone, to give you his rendition of Cathedral in the Pines.
Daddy wore a happy smile. When his bride came down the aisle in that little old cathedral in the pine.
In the pine.
When a baby filled their nest, he was taken to be blessed in that little old cathedral in the pine.
In the pine.
He grew up and joined the choir where the organ played each day, and he found his one desire in a girl who came to pray. Once again the wedding bells will softly peal, and while you
thank you, Pat Boone, for being with us today. We enjoyed it immensely. Now, folks, here's a message of interest just for you.
If you throw paper in the street, you're a litter bug.
If you don't keep our beaches neat,
you're a litter bug. If you throw litter from your car,
a litter bug is what you are.
If you throw litter anywhere, street,
feet,
or in the air, you're a litter bug.
Hi, this is Johnny Carson. What I have to say is aimed at me as much as you. You know, we live in a beautiful area, and it's up to you and me to keep it that way. Keep it clean. Let's face it, if we're not litter bugs, there won't be any litter. So let's work together to make our roads, parks, beaches, and streets the cleanest in the world. It's up to you and me.
If you throw paper in the street, you're a litter bug.
If you don't keep our beaches neat,
you're a litter bug. If you throw litter from your car,
a litter bug is what you are.
If you throw litter anywhere, street,
beach,
or in the air, you're a litter bug.
Have you folks heard about government legislation to give free hospital care to folks living on Social Security payments? I understand there is such a bill under consideration. It's called the Foran Bill, and it would provide hospital care for our senior citizens. But it may never become law for several reasons. First and foremost, in my book, there's the old but very valid argument that democracy does not operate on a giveaway basis. When you start handing out free medical care to any group, no matter how severe the need, you're encouraging people to accept a dole for everything. I go along with the ideas advanced by the president of the American Medical Association at its annual meeting in San Francisco. He went on to explain, and I quote, that he is by no means opposed to a workable medical and health program for this large group of older Americans whose income is limited just at the time when many of them are most in need of health care. What he and the Medical Association do favor is a survey to learn the real needs of our senior citizens. He thinks the AMA and health agencies should get together to work out means of meeting these needs without the indignity of government doles. Now, our nation needs to do something to meet the medical and health needs of our older citizens, but whatever steps are eventually taken will have to be taken with the fullest cooperation of the medical profession. So we'd better start listening to their suggestions before we pass any laws on the subject, because they are the real experts. Now here's my last song, Love Walked Right In.
Love
Until tomorrow, thanks for listening, and goodbye, folks.